Philippians chapter 1, and feel like we're still trying to get out of the gate. But isn't this been good? We're not going to ride a racehorse through this one. We're just going to get one of them big old Clydesdales that plod along. We're just going to kind of plod through this, all right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, bless our study of the Word and thank you for the depth of it. My goodness sakes, Lord, we seem to be going slowly and trying to mine what we can out of it. But Lord, I still think we probably, and when we get to heaven, we'll look over our time spent in Philippians and realize just how much precious metal we left under the earth. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to glean what we can tonight. And Lord, I'm excited about the message tonight. I'm stirred by it. I think if we can truly grasp, Lord, this wonderful connection between grace and peace, it could transform us. It could help us. It might be able to get somebody past some bitterness in their life, maybe some disappointment in their life. It could free somebody from something that's been robbing them of peace, maybe for years. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't battle against the truth of God's word, but we'd just embrace it. Lord, so many times you want to free us of something, but we insist on being bound. And so I pray that that wouldn't be the case, Lord, that we would embrace the wonderful grace of God. And while we're doing that, realize the peace of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Now, I spent some time praying for you. And because I wanted you to get what I'm going to teach tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now that I don't have a 15 illustrations and 10 funny stories to go with this. I just couldn't find any that would fit. I know it's a Wednesday night. And I know that folks have worked hard. But if you'll on purpose for the short time we're in here, listen on purpose, I really believe you can embrace some Bible truths that will absolutely help you in vital areas of your Christian life. You see, I don't think it's a mistake. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again tonight, but I do not think that it's a mistake that the Holy Spirit of God divinely inspired the Apostle Paul and others who were writing letters to the New Testament church to begin each and every letter, almost without fail, to begin each and every letter, wishing them grace and peace. I don't think that God does things by accident. I can't believe for one minute that this same thing is repeated as many times as it's repeated at the beginning of every one of these epistles, where God's not trying to say, hey, church, you need to get something. Before you can get anything else that's going to be taught in this book, you've got to embrace two principles. You've got to understand two principles. You're going to be bound mentally. You're going to be bound emotionally. You're going to miss this thing. You're going to be blinded spiritually if you don't understand the depth of the grace of God and the connection it has to the peace of God, and settle some things so that you can free yourselves to go forward in your Christian life. And I really mean that. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm frustrated in some areas. I'm angry in some areas. I'm bitter in some areas. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's wish. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to help you with some things. I doubt very seriously that if we really got you on the psychiatrist's couch and hypnotized you so that you couldn't help but tell the truth, that there's very many people that don't have some things in their past that absolutely still to this day bother them and bind them and frustrate them. And sometimes, whether or not we want to admit it or not, we try to spiritualize ourselves, but embitter them. And I believe that we need the peace of God. Listen, it's a wonderful thing. If you can find the key to the peace of God, and you know what? You can sustain yourself through a lot of other things. But you see, to get to the door that says peace, you've got to go through the door that says grace. And that's the first point. Let me give you some introductory remarks, and then we're going to talk about this matter of securing the peace of God in our life. What is the peace of God, and how can we secure that in our lives? Number one, let me just give you some introductory statements. Number one, peace always follows grace. Every place we read this, you get the idea that Paul always introduces to the church and reminds the church of the grace of God. And then along that, listen, the grace of God is the engine and the peace of God is the caboose. Did you get that? The grace of God is the engine. You're not going to put the caboose in front of the engine. You can't do it that way. You've got to understand and embrace the grace of God before you can find the peace of God. So remember that. Peace always follows grace. Peace always follows grace. Now let me give you another introductory statement. We're getting all this out of verse number 2, okay? Peace and grace both come from a gracious God. Peace and grace both come from a gracious God. And grace be unto you. Well, that's nice for me to say that, but you know what? I don't have the wherewithal to provide grace to you. Peace be unto you. Well, that's nice for me to say that, wish that to you, but I don't have the wherewithal to give you peace. You see, here's what Paul tells the church. Grace be unto you. I want you to have the grace of God and peace. I want you to have the peace of God and peace with God, but that only comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just give you a little something here that'll help you. Folks, we rob ourselves of the grace of God and we rob ourselves of the peace of God just because we don't spend enough time around the Prince of Peace and the God who produces grace and peace. You see, if you're going to get grace and you're going to get peace, you're going to get it from God. No, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. The reason I don't have peace doesn't have anything to do with God. It has everything to do with God. You don't understand. If my circumstances was changed, or if this one thing wasn't true in my life, or if this one heartache didn't happen, or if I could go back and erase one thing, that's not what's robbing you of peace. You see, it's not circumstances that keeps us from having peace, the peace of God. That peace of God comes to us as a gift from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, kids, it's like when you go to the Christmas tree at Christmas time or you go to the birthday table and you grab that gift and you start ripping it open and your mom always reminds you or always someone always asks, who's that from? Now, what they're saying is read the tag before you tear the paper off. I mean, all you want to see is what's in it. And so you start ripping up, who's it from? Well, I don't know. And then you go back and you look at the paper and you're trying to find the tag. And, oh, yeah, Grandma. Thanks, Grandma. You know? And, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, read the tag. You want grace? Do you want peace? Are these wonderful gifts? Then where do they come from? I'll tell you where they come from. If you are going to receive grace, you're going to receive it from God. If you're going to receive peace, you're going to receive it from God, okay? So peace always follows grace, and peace and grace and peace, comes from a gracious God. Let me say one more thing, and I need to take a minute and define this. There is a difference between having peace with God, and I know this is review for a lot of you, but for some folks, this is brand new stuff, so stay with me. There is a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. There's a difference between having peace with God and having the peace of God. Now go ahead and mark Philippians chapter 1, but let's go back to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. A wonderful thing happened when we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You see, a person that is not saved is not at peace with God. You are not at peace with God. God and you have a problem. Before I got saved, God and me, listen, God had a problem with me. There was no peace between us. But notice for chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, and you ought to underline these next three words, peace with God. Now, how do you get peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody comes and receives Jesus Christ and receives that wonderful gift of eternal life that was purchased by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive that, listen, you have, as far as your position, eternal position with God, you have made peace with God. Listen, it's not going to be a matter of Jerry Ross showing up one of these days and trying to talk my way into heaven or standing there with my fingers crossed hoping that my good outweighs my bad and somehow got... Listen, that's been settled. It was settled back when I was a young boy and I walked an aisle and I said, I know that I'm a sinner and I'm feeling the convicting, drawing power of God and I want to be saved. And somebody took the Bible and showed me that Jesus loved me and that he died on the cross for me. He was the Son of God. He paid the sin debt for me and that he offered a free gift of eternal life. And all I needed to do was call upon him and trust in him and by faith receive what he'd already purchased for me. And in childlike faith, I bowed my head and prayed a prayer asking God to save me and asking Jesus to be my Savior. And folks, at that time and place, for all eternity, peace was made between me and God. I have peace with God. We're talking about a positional thing. We're talking about an eternal standing between me and God. I don't have to worry about it. Hey, God's not an Indian giver. You know, God, this whole idea of losing your salvation, folks, don't get caught up on that thing. Don't fall into that trap. You'll live a frustrated life. Saved one day, lost the next. Saved the next day, lost the next. Got to redo it. Got to redo it. No, God doesn't do that. He saves you. You have made peace with God. That is an eternal thing. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't have an eraser on the end of it. And you know, they're not writing it down and erasing it, writing down and erasing it, writing down. By the way, the people that God says God one of these days will send to hell, he says that when they send to the judgment seat, he said to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. That's very important. I never knew you. Not I knew you between July of 68 and August of 71, and then I lost you between, and then I regained you, and I knew you back in these months, and then I knew you for 2 years, and then I didn't know you. No, he said, he either has knows us from the moment we're saved, we're written in the land, or he never knew you. One of the two are true, okay? Now, that's how to have peace with God. That's between me and him. That was settled because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of any good thing in Jerry Ross. That was settled because I received the gift of eternal life. I have peace with God. Boy, it's good just to be able to go and call him Father. It's just good to know that if I don't... Listen, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you sat down with your children and you said to them, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're my child now, but I'm going to tell you something. There are certain rules here. If you don't keep the rules, I'm disowning you. I mean, every day you're on trial. Every day we have to decide whether or not we're going to keep you or we're going to disown you or we're going to kick you out on the street. I'm just telling you better walk on eggs. I can't imagine living that kind of... I can't imagine embracing that kind of heresy. I can't imagine... You would have no peace with God. But the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, not works, faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So, let me do these introductory statements. Remember this, peace always follows grace. Grace and peace comes from a gracious God. And there's a difference between having peace with God and the peace of God. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter number 4, back to the book of Philippians chapter number 4. Now, even though in our eternal standing we have peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we access that by faith because of the grace of God and the faith that God gives us to trust into his grace, we can have an eternal standing of peace with God. But notice Philippians chapter 4, verse number 5, we see, well, let me jump down and just read verse number 7 for now and then we'll go back. Look at verse number 7. Now I had you underline peace with God. Notice verse number 7 of Philippians 4. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Isn't it interesting, though? You still end up back at Christ Jesus at the end of it. You know why? Because grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you're not going to access this by, listen, you get off this thing of trying to read these self-help books or how can I feel better about myself book or cancel your appointment with Oprah. Stop watching Dr. Phil. It's just been a while since I got on them and I just felt like I needed to do that. You know, some of you got to go 4 o'clock every afternoon to get your fix to see if you can figure out if you can, you know, make another adjustment and feel it, figuring out why you're no. You know, all they're going to do is mess you up more, okay? I mean, she endorses people that writes books that's not even true, all right? And seems to have a problem with things like that. So I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket. Now, listen, God wants you to have, you can have in your heart, boy, this is good. I want you to get this. Stop living frustrated. Stop living all tore up in knots. Stop walking around feeling like there's a black cloud. Just fall. Stop that stuff. There's not only is peace with God available because you were saved, but you can have the peace of God in your heart every day. You can have the peace of God. You say, Brother Jerry, I believe that. I think I can have the peace of God. If I just could get rid of the problems, if I could just get rid of the tribulations, if I could just fix three or four problems, I think for the first time, if I could just go back and undo something, or if I could get somebody to do something, then I could once again embrace. No, no, no. Let's now keep yourself there in Philippians chapter 4, because we're going to be right back there. But let's take a jog over to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16 and verse number 33. Now let's listen to the beautiful, blessed words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to them, okay? I love it when we read. I know it's all the words of God, but I just love when I read something that Jesus said with his own divine lips while he was walking here. You know, I don't have a Bible with red verses and black verses. I don't care if you do. It's all God's word to me, but I still like listening to Jesus teach his disciples. In verse 33 of John chapter 16, he says this, "These things I have spoken unto you." What things? Well, read the whole chapter, okay? Take that chapter and just, boy, that's a great chapter. He introduces, by the way, the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to get to that. That's over and early in the chapter. A great key to having the peace of God. We'll cover that in a few minutes. But look at verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Now, where are you going to find peace? Where does he say? Yeah, in him. He says, "That in me you might have peace." Watch this. "In the world you shall have tribulation." And all God's people said, amen. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you what. The world just specializes in trying to make Christians miserable. I mean, they do. It just seems like life is one big stinking battle after another. One conflict after another. One problem after another. I mean, folks, when the phone rings, you don't even want to answer it. Somebody knocks on the door, you don't want. If you got a pager and it goes off, you want to throw it in the lake. You just know that 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be a problem. Okay, you know why? Because we're in this old sin-cursed world. That's why. By the way, that's why if you choose to spend your life being a blessing, you're such a rarity. You know, you can be a bright spot in somebody's day because most people don't have very many bright spots in their day. Well, that's the honest truth right there. You see, you know why? Because while we're in the world, Jesus said, "Ye shall have." Boy, he didn't act like he doubted that would happen at all. "In the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Well, that's good. You get that? In the midst of your tribulation, you can smile. In the midst of this mess that we call life, you know what? You can be of good cheer. You know why? He said this, "I have overcome the world." He said, "Listen, I'm going to give you something. You're not going to get it from the world. It's called peace. It's a gift from me." Remember, it came, grace and peace comes from where? God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm going to give you something. It's called peace. And I want you to embrace this peace. I want you to have this peace. I want you to have this gift inside of your heart, the peace of God." All right, you got saved. We have peace with God, but every day you can have the peace of God, and that's not absent of tribulation, that's in the midst of tribulation. You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, if I sat down and you got me on that couch and hypnotized me and I couldn't hold back and I really had to tell the truth, you wouldn't believe the mess that I'm facing. You don't believe the things that have happened in my life. I mean, if I told you things that I never, or if I emptied my heart, people in this room would be mortified. Some of the things that I still have in my past that I carry that Saint, listen, God wants to take all that, take it out, and put his peace in its place. And he doesn't say, you know, when you get to heaven, guess what? You'll finally have the peace. He said, no, right there in this stinking world, in the midst of all this tribulation, you can walk around with a smile of God on your face and the peace of God in your heart. I want to give you a present. It's called peace. What, did you get that? Now, folks, we got to get this. Okay, I don't want to just teach 5 or 6 points and then go home with another forgotten lesson. I want this to change you if you don't have it. How in the world are we going to go through the book of Philippians and access all these other truths or any of the epistles till we settle some things at the beginning? Grace and peace be unto you.
Grace and peace. It's repeated over and over and over and over. Hey, church, the two things you need more than anything is the grace of God and the peace of God. If you don't get those two things and understand those two things and understand the connection between those two things, you're going to have a hard time living out everything else that's followed in each of these books. All right? Are you getting this? Woo-hoo. Hello there. Are you getting this? I don't want this to pass by you. Okay? I'd juggle with my feet if I could, but I can't. I want you to get this, all right? Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. There's a connection there. All right, now we're back at Philippians chapter 4. Let's find where this connection is. All right? Say, what are you doing? I'm turning my cell phone off. I know it's going to ring. Just realized it was on. All right, let's watch the connection with this. All right, now, let me give you a second. Brother Jerry, all right. I have peace with God. I'm saved. I know as far as my eternal standings, I don't have to worry about standing before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that from the moment of death forward, peace is... What about between here and death? Well, that's the peace of God. How do I get that? All right. Let's take a look at some things. All right. Philippians chapter 4. Now let's back up to verse number 5. The peace of God, the peace of God, can be obtained only by the grace of God or through grace. Now, I want you to listen because everything I teach you is going to revolve around the connection between peace and grace. Peace and grace, okay? Number one, the peace of God. And we're talking about the peace of God tonight. The peace of God can be obtained at the throne of grace. Did you get that? Grace is going to pop up everywhere. I said the peace of God can be obtained at the throne of grace. Now, look up here a minute before I read this. I want to ask you a question. How come you had an hour today to worry and fret, but you didn't have an hour to pray? You know why? Because you're made out of the same stuff I am. That's why. You know, the old saying is, why worry when you can pray? But I think most of us are, why pray when you can worry? Now listen to me, folks. You need to learn to live at the throne of grace. Because peace is accessed through grace. And God said, come boldly. He's pleading with us. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, Brother Jerry, yeah, that's easy for you to see. You know, so we think that the only time you can pray is if we can sequester ourselves away into a closet and get everything dead quiet, not have a phone ring, and then all of a sudden if we get into this little trance of meditation, you know, this Eastern religious, you know, state of mind, then somehow we can connect to that great power and then, no. You know what? God is real. He's with you every day. You can pray as you're driving. You can pray as you're walking. You can pray as you're working. You can pray as you're carrying on a conversation and you're not sure what to do. You can whisper a prayer. I mean, Peter said a prayer between when he began to sink and before his head went under and got it answered. You know, we can pray whenever we need to access God, we can pray. Come boldly, because of what Jesus did, he unlocked the ability for us to come right into the presence of God. We don't deserve to be there, but we're there because of the grace of God. And at the throne of grace, there is peace. There is peace. Why does Satan work so hard to keep us from praying? Why do we do everything in the world except pray? I'll tell you, because he knows this secret. Verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is where? Way, way off in the universe somewhere. And boy, if you pray through and you finally keep praying long enough and hard enough, your voice finally might reach. And that's a bunch of baloney. He's right at hand. Okay? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, E-V-E-R-Y, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. Boy, this is important. This is the soul of a man. Heart and mind is the soul of a man. It is your soul. It is that eternal part of you. The heart and the mind make up the soul of man. And how do you get the peace of God? Brother Jerry, oh my goodness sake. By the way, there's a difference between what you fret about and what you worry about here and here. Is that true? Did you hear that? There's some things that you fret about up here, and there's some things that come down and touch this, and you fret here. There's some things that you carry as a heaviness that you grieve over. That's this here. Some things you just worry, just, you know, detail. Some things are here. You know, sometimes you can keep this, get peace here, but you can't get peace here. And sometimes you can get peace here, but you can't get peace here. You can't turn this machine off. You're still worried about all these little crazy things. And God said, hey, I've got the ability to give you peace here and give you peace here. Hallelujah. That sounds good. I mean, man, I might be able to sleep at night. I might be able to get off the medication. You know, I might not have to go see a psychiatrist. Boy, maybe I can make it through a day without Dr. Phil. Woohoo! You know, and, you know, I mean, I hate to do this. I'm going to destroy his ratings. If Christians would just find the peace of God, the ratings would plummet so much that he wouldn't even be able to. Poor guy, I'd have to send him money. I'd have to make sure he was taken care of, you know. Take him on our missions account or something, you know. But crazy. We'll do everything and go everywhere and read everything and talk to everybody but God. Now, Brother Jerry, I just don't know what to do. Pray. It's not a cop-out. It's not a cop-out. It's not a cop-out. You see, because folks, prayer, I love to give you this. I wish we could have had a whole time to develop this. But I'm going to say this. The longer I live and the more my prayer life develops and the more I study in the Bible about prayer, I will tell you this. The more I am more and more convinced that prayer and time spent in prayer is not about us. I know people would argue about this, but it's not about us changing the mind of God. It's about God changing us. Yeah, I'm not going to get into theological debate about whether or not you can change the mind of God or not. I think that's kind of hysterical. You know, God didn't know he was going to do something, but you talked him into it. Well, that's good. All right, if that gives you, that makes you feel good, congratulations. But I'm just saying, listen, you know why? You know what is the, say, Brother Jerry, what's the best part about prayer? You're in his presence. I mean, in a way, like you're never, ever, your heart and your mind is in the presence of God in a unique way that doesn't happen when you're not praying. And you can't be, listen, he wants to give you his peace. Go to the throne of grace, and you know what you'll carry away from it? Oh, I know what I hope to carry away. He'll just take away all my troubles and all my burdens, and then I can finally have peace. No, what he'll do is give you peace in the midst of your trials and burdens. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah, so remember that, okay? The peace of God can be obtained at the throne of grace. Now, let me give you the next step. All right, I'm getting, let's suppose we all really agreed on that and we decided that that was true, and so we're all going to spend more time in prayer. Then, at the end of the week, some of us are still not, I'm going to tell you, I've gone through this evolution of what I'm talking to you about. I've gone through this, and I want to tell you what happens next. Number one, you get somebody praying. And you know what? There's a certain amount of peace they get. But soon, that peace is robbed again because they feel like, all right, I've spent all this time praying. I talked to a guy on the phone about 2 weeks ago. And he said, Brother Jerry, I've never prayed for anything like I've prayed in my life over this one issue that he's being tormented by for the last 3 or 4 months. And he said, I'm getting to the point where I don't want to pray anymore because I feel like God's not answering my prayer. Maybe God doesn't want to answer my prayer. I feel like I've just wasted my time. I went, that's what happens next. We finally go to God and spend some time in prayer, and we get a little bit of peace just from being in the presence of God. But prayer is asking. Prayer and supplication, that's what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So then we go before God, and we begin to pray, and yeah, that's it, that's the answer, prayer's the answer. I just need to spend more time in prayer, and oh yes, that's the answer, I'll find peace. So we bombard heaven with our requests, and then we don't get, in our mind, them answered to our satisfaction or our timetable, and guess what? Watch this. Disappointment sets in. And then, right on the heels of disappointment, bitterness. And guess what? We don't have peace again. Now watch this. Because there's a connection between peace and grace. Oh, I want you to get this. There's a connection between grace and peace. You see, the peace of God can only be obtained at the throne of grace. The throne of grace. What's the definition of grace? What's the definition of grace?
The throne of unmerited favor. The throne of unmerited favor. See, here's the problem. When we pray, we put God on the spot. We go as if we deserve to have our prayer answered. You know what disappointment is? Disappointment, you can only be touched by disappointment when you have an unrealized expectation. When you think somebody ought to have done something, or ought to have said something, or you ought to have got something, and it doesn't happen, then that is when you're disappointed. You see, let me give you the next point, folks. Peace is forfeited when we fail to embrace and understand that everything that God does for us is an act of unmerited favor, an act of grace. Hey, take God off trial. Well, he's a good God. You know, boy, God's good. He answered my prayer. Boy, God's good. He's answering. You know what? He's good if he didn't answer your prayer. He's good if he said no. You know, what have you done for me lately, Lord? Well, that's what kind of a great God you are. You're only great as to what you've done for me lately. No, he's great if he never does another. You know, can I, you get this? God Almighty owes Jerry Ross nothing. Zero. If I go and ask him for something and he chooses to because of his love or it fits within his will, if he chooses to answer my prayer, hey, you know what? That is grace. Unmerited favor. And when I get that, I shouldn't say, well, it's about time. What took you so long? Well, thank you for this one, but what about these other five things? Everything that you get, every prayer that you've ever gotten answered, folks, is an act of grace. Now, boy, you better get this. Let me take you back to Job. Man, if we could understand Job, we could get past a lot of things. I think we could get some peace if we could understand Brother Job. You know, the truth is, you know, we're Americans. We have some certain undeniable rights. Yeah, we do. We got the right to burn forever in a devil's hell. That's, you know, certain things that are owed us. Yeah, there is. Thank God we're not going to get them. Okay. Job chapter 1, and you know the story, and I'm not going to go through all that Job went through. I think everyone here is very familiar with that. If not, read Job chapter 1 later. Look at verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, then verse 16, and when he was yet speaking, there came also another. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. You say, Brother Jerry, you didn't read all that. Trust me, it's all bad news. There's not one good thing. There's not one. And then here's what I want to get down to. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Well, if we could get this. Verse 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. Worshipped God. Wow. By the way, notice this. He understood grace. You know why Job had a certain amount of peace in the midst of the storm? Because he understood grace. This is an understanding of grace, verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he said? He was saying, listen, I came in this world with nothing. I'm going to leave that way. Any good thing I get between those two events, that's the grace of God. God, if God chooses for a little while to allow me to have some things or enjoy some things, man, he's good. But you know what? He doesn't owe me anything. If he chooses to take something away, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe you anything. You realize how, look what he's done. I think God gets frustrated. I think he's tired of hearing us whine. I mean, you've had 50,000 good things happen in your life, and you're mad at God over the two or the one. We need to be shamed sometime a little bit. We need to be shamed a little bit. Shame on us. What gripe have you got against God? What accusation? Listen,
Better watch this. Verse 22. This is a very, very important. You ought to set this as a goal in your life, and none of us will do it perfectly. But I love what it says, verse 22. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And that's where we are robbed of peace, because we forget about the great truth that's connected with grace. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't get this out of my marriage, and I want this, and I don't get this, and so I'm mad. You know what? You ought to thank God. Look in the mirror. You ought to thank God you even got married. That was the grace of God. Come on, laugh. Help me out here a little bit, you know. Yeah, some of you just wear your feelings right there on your sleeve. I can't say anything. Smile. What do you mean you're mad about? What? What are you mad about? What aren't you getting that you deserve? Excuse me, you want to write this stuff down for me? You know, I can't understand why God don't give me that. I can't understand why God didn't give me. You know what? I can't understand why God lets me take the next breath. I don't understand why God sent Jesus down the cross for me. I don't understand why I get to spend eternity in heaven. I don't understand why I get to live in such a nice house and eat such good food and wear such nice clothes. I don't understand the graciousness and goodness of Almighty God. Tell you what, as soon as I figure that out and understand that, I'll switch over to trying to understand why I'm not getting something. But I don't think I'll ever get done just trying to figure out why he's so good to me. And folks, this will help you if you'll let it. No, Brother Jerry, I don't like this kind of sermon because you're taking away my passy. You know, I need my passy. I want to curl up in the corner and suck on my passy and be mad at God and mad at the world. Well, then, you know what? I'm going to tell you there's a better way to live. Amen. And God wants you to have some peace. And that peace is connected with grace. I mean, if you really embrace the grace of God and understand the grace of God and understand that everything that happens every day that is good and wonderful, anything better than hell every single day is an act of unmerited favor. And heaven forbid I should gripe along the way because one or two things didn't quite go the way I thought they ought to go. I'm going to tell you, it'll change your mind. Because you see, folks, a lot of our peace of God, and let me just say this because I want to get it down where we have to face it. A lot of our peace, the reason we don't have the peace of God is because we've replaced it with bitterness towards God. Oh, no, Brother Jerry, I'm not mad at God. Yes, you are. No, it's this person. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, they did this. No, it's not between you and them. It's between you and him. See, you're convinced that you deserved something that God didn't give you, and you're mad at God. Now, folks, if we don't face this thing, we're not going to fix it. I want to tell you something. Just take a look at all the things that God has given you. Amen. And you know what? Naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to spend my life sinning by charging God foolishly. He didn't have to give me anything. He didn't have to save me. He got our family to a little country church out there. He moved my dad in a miraculous way from the Greencastle area over to Brazil and moved us across the street from born-again Christians where we could be invited to a little country church and prepared a whole lifetime to prepare a hog farmer that on weekends would go up and get in the pulpit and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then got us in there at a right time at the right revival meeting so that my dad would get saved and then my mom would get saved later and then us kids would have the chance to, hey, you know, what was I griping about? What was it God wasn't fair about with me? I mean, look at us. You going to walk home tonight? You going to hitchhike? You haven't eaten in 3 days, have we? Starving to death. Yeah, I know, but we haven't got to go out to eat for several days. I'd be bitter at God. Well, you've got a case there. Man, I'll tell you what, he needs to answer to you. Now, I'm having some fun with this, but folks, listen to me. You know how you get peace? Yeah, you get it by access. Listen, you got to go through the door of grace. You have to understand grace, and then peace is on the other side. When you really get this thing of the grace of God, you know what? It's going to let you have peace over a lot of things. Well, Brother Jerry, how come I didn't have this? How come I didn't have this and other people did? You know what? That's up to God. What you ought to do is find somebody worse than you and say, how come I get this and they didn't? I mean, get on a plane and fly down to some little villa down in Mexico like we took the kids to, where they live in houses that we wouldn't put our cows in. And nobody's got a door. They just got a rag or a blanket or a tarp over it. And you know what? They don't have any kind of a diet. They just eat tortillas and beans, and that's it. That's what they live on. And then come back and tell me how God hasn't... Well, you had a right to be bitter at God. See? God's been so good to us. Good night, God's been so good to us. Amen. And praise the Lord. Oh, I tell you what. And so how do we get to the peace of God? We get it at the throne of grace. And then when we go to the throne of grace and give our petitions and stuff, we realize, hey, whatever God chooses to answer, whatever he chooses to do in response to my prayers, you know what? Anything good is just a gift. Anything better than hell, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to complain when God, for in his divine knowledge, he can oversee everything. See, I could be praying something, wanting God to change a situation that he's going to use to bring glory to himself. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me sad. It may be, make me brokenhearted. It may not be good for me, but it's good for God's kingdom. And I can't see that, so I'm mad at God. Why don't you change this? Why don't you do this? I used to believe in God, but I prayed and he didn't do this. Now I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to worship him. Well, I think if anybody ever had a case, this man rent his clothes, shaved his head, and got on his face and worshiped God. See, here's the thing, folks. Watch this. He didn't let the hard things drive him away from God. He let it drive him to God. And because of that, he had the peace of God. You see, verse 9 of chapter 2. Boy, I don't have time. We're going to get out of here. But then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not God sin with his lips. I'm going to go through a theological explanation of all that. And I know God doesn't deliver evil, but what he's saying is God, what he did was he took his hand away and allowed Satan to introduce evil into the scene. And he's like, you know, here's what he said. He said, woman, do you really think life is supposed to be about all good and no bad? There's supposed to be only mountaintops, and never there's supposed to be a valley. How in the world are we going to grow in our Christian life, folks, if from time to time we don't have to face hard things? Tell me this is true in your life also. You have grown not in the good times, not in the easy times. You have grown the most in the difficult times. Your faith has grown the most in the valley, not on the mountaintop. And God knows that. He knows the balance. He knows what we need. And so he allows testings to come into our life. You know why? Because he needs to build our faith and strengthen our relationship with him. And those things are only done through times of hardship. You see. And God wants you to learn to have peace in that, okay? Peace during those times, all right? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're gonna finish up here. Galatians chapter 5. This wonderful connection between grace and peace. I really think we need to take God off trial. I think every day we need to stop saying, okay, God, whatever you do today is going to determine whether or not you're a good God or a bad God. He's good no matter what he does. He's good no matter what he allows. He's working out a plan that's much bigger than Jerry Ross's life and how every little thing affects me. He's got a will that's more important than any one of us. And if part of his will, for his will to be done, certain things, hard things have to touch some of our lives, well, you know what? I came in naked. I'm going to leave naked. I've sure been given a lot of good things from time to time. He takes something away. He does it in his old wisdom. You know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And, it's easy to preach, but it's not easy to live, but it's a good way to live. It really is. It's a good way to live, you see. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, we've been teaching about this and started to teach through the fruits of the Spirit in our adult class. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, number 3 on the list. Made the top 3. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, P-E-A-C-E, peace. Peace. Peace is the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. It's a byproduct of a Spirit-controlled mind. Go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at Romans chapter 8, say a few things about it, and then we'll pray, and we'll conclude the service. But Don't leave me yet. Stay with me here the last few minutes, okay? Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5 and 6. And remember that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, the byproduct of a Spirit-controlled mind. Remember when we went to the throne of grace back in Philippians chapter number 4. Let me dive back there real quick. You don't have to, but let me see. When we went to the throne of grace, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Very important. The peace of God in the heart of an individual, in the mind of an individual, through Christ Jesus. Now we go to Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, and we see this. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," capital S, "the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and..." Now, let me give you this and we'll be done. Folks, listen to me. If you have a pattern and a way of thinking that is a carnal way of thinking, you judge everything on this direction instead of this direction. This is how you think. How do people affect me? How do things affect me? What is this going to do to me? Why do I have to go through this? Why did this happen to me? And everything is earthly, worldly. You won't recognize that there is something spiritual, something bigger. There's a God in charge. There's some big plan he's trying to work out, and that involves us climbing mountains and going through valleys and climbing mountains and going through valleys, and that involves him keeping a hedge around us and sometimes opening that hedge and then closing that hedge and opening that hedge. Okay? So that the things can be accomplished that needs to be accomplished. Okay? Okay? And by the way, you know what? Why that all this happens? Because of the curse of sin. Why do we always blame God for the results of our sin? You see, the curse of sin. That's why this all opened up. Okay? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, the byproduct of a Spirit-controlled mind. Now, if you're going to spend your life like that, instead of... Listen, if you will allow yourself... And I'm just going to repeat what I've been saying Sunday morning like a broken record. Those of you in the adult class, I don't have time to develop for the rest of you. Get the tapes. That's all I can tell you. Get the tape. But there is such an importance of allowing yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There is such an importance of emptying ourselves from sin and self. And we have to do this. We got to take out the garbage every day. Because self wants to fill us and sin wants to fill us and the Spirit can't fill us if we're already filled with that junk. You got to take out the garbage every day. You've got to resurrender every day. You've got to, many times during the day, "Holy Spirit of God, I wanted you to control me today, and here I am worried about me again. Here I am involved in this again. Here I am thinking wrong. I'm being carnally minded. I want to be spiritually minded, Lord, because when I'm spiritually minded, I have life and peace. When I'm carnally minded, death, death, death. Everything dies. Everything's wrong. Everything's tainted, you see. And so, Lord, help me to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help me to be surrendered to control of the Spirit of God. Hey, there's a member of the triune God that lives inside of you that wants to control your thinking. He wants to help you to see things on a spiritual plane and not on a carnal, and all that means is earthly or worldly plane. And so we have to stop evaluating everything that comes and happens in our life by a worldview and start getting and say, "God, help me to see what you're seeing. Help me to view this like you view it. Help me to understand that this is a spiritual thing. It's not about me. It's not about this person. It's not about this circumstance. It's about God trying to do something." And you know what? If you understand that there is a God of peace that is very, very, very gracious to us, and also wants to give us along with that grace his peace in our heart, if we just begin to start thinking spiritually about things, I'm not kidding you, the spiritual mind, folks, this is such a key verse. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Let me finish with this. Some bad thing, or supposedly, or at least apparently some bad thing can happen. Two Christians can be here viewing the exact same thing and are affected by it equally in the same way. This person can sit there and say, oh, no, I can't believe it. Why would God do that? I can't believe it. Now this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this affects me this way, and this hurts me this way, and I can't believe it. And the other person can stand over here, and they're getting the same backwash from the event happening, and they can sit there and say, man, I wonder what God's going to do through this. Listen, this isn't some accident. I mean, I know that this is horrible and seems to be hurtful, but God says that all things work together for good to them that love Him, that called according to His purpose. Man, listen, there's something on the other side of this. There's something that's going to happen as a result of this. Man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. And that really is the difference between a carnally minded individual and a spiritually minded individual. And so, and you know what? This person is racked with bitterness and disappointment and fury and really anger at Almighty God. And this person here is saying, you know what? God's in control. And man, I'll tell you what, every time in my life I thought something was a disaster, I've lived to watch God pull good out of it. And you know what? Even if it's not the best thing for me, if it advances His kingdom or if there's a soul saved because of this, you know what? Lord, if I have to suffer a little along the way, hey, you know what? Because what is important is the spiritual viewpoint of what's going on, not the carnal, worldly viewpoint of how it's affecting me. Boy, if you can do that, there's something that comes into your heart called peace. Hey, Brother Jerry, what are you going to face tomorrow? I don't know. When the phone rings and you pick it up, I don't know. I have no idea. Oh, I mean, but isn't there something? Yeah, let me tell you something. God's in control. Hey, I talked to Him this morning. He's still on His throne. Yeah, Satan hasn't pushed Him off. He's still there. Still in control. You know, still working His will. Still doing what He does. Still taking care of business. And I'm going to understand sometimes what He's doing, and I'm not going to understand sometimes what He's doing. But folks, I think sometimes we just like as dear children need to put our hand in the hand of our Father and say, you know what, Lord, even when I don't understand what's going on, I know one thing, I can trust You because You're a good and gracious God. And boy, folks, when you do that, the peace of God comes. The peace of God comes. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd give us victory in this area. And Lord, this isn't something that we all don't face and sometimes flounder. Lord, we can rob ourselves of peace, but God, You said that You want to give us a gift, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Help us, Lord, to spend as much time at the throne of grace. Thank You for grace, because without grace, there's no peace. Help us to grasp this whole idea of grace and the graciousness of God. And understand, Lord, that You have been so good to us far beyond what we deserve. And Lord, every time any good thing happens, it's unmerited favor. You don't owe us anything. We don't deserve anything except the devil's hell. And Lord, I pray that we'd grasp that idea, the fact that every good thing is a gift from God. And Lord, forgive us for taking so much for granted and grumbling about so many things that, Lord, maybe is part of Your ultimate plan. Lord, we're all weak humans, Lord, and we're a mess sometimes. And Lord, I know many times, God, I get confused and I get hurt and I get turned upside down and I let circumstances overwhelm me. But thank You for the grace of God. Thank You for the throne of grace. There's something about settling in at the throne of grace and just getting quiet and letting God speak to your heart, minister to your mind and heart, that just it just fixes a lot of things. So help maybe that one in the room that's fighting a battle or going through a time of confusion or being tempted by the devil. Or maybe they faced a real heartache or a hardship. But Lord, maybe it's not something that they face today, but somewhere back in their past there's something, Lord, they're still fussing with You about. God, I pray, dear God, that we just embrace the grace of God, that unmerited favor would help us to get through and overcome what we need to overcome in our lives, so that we can grasp the rest of what's taught in this book. In Jesus' name, amen.